transcripts of Walt analyzing the making of all the Disney classic animated films. There were also thousands of archival photos. Disney still employed a staff of 16 full-time still photographers whose sole responsibility was to document the work of the studio. Katzenberg considered it a monument to Walt's ego. Paramount had had none of this. But since it was there, Katzenberg decided to take advantage of it. In the midst of shelves filled with dusty cartons that looked as if they hadn't been touched in years, Katzenberg began systematically retracing Walt's career in animation. It was all there, neatly catalogued, Walt's files on villains, heroines, lyrics, music. He also discovered a book written by two of Walt's disciples called The Art of Animation. Katzenberg made a point of rereading it every 4 to 6 months. He spent hours in the archives, often in the early morning or late at night when no one else was around. He typically slept just 5 hours a night. He came to view the experience as the college education he'd never gotten, and a refuge from the stress and hectic pace of the studio. Far from wanting to shut down animation, as Eisner and Wells had initially proposed, Katzenberg began to see it as a unique Disney asset. Just because Disney had failed to generate a new classic since Walt's death didn't mean it never would again. In any event, Eisner had told him to keep Roy happy, and Roy believed in animation. On a flight to Tokyo to visit Tokyo Disneyland, Katzenberg talked with Roy about how to ramp up production at the animation division. "You need your own Katzenberg," Katzenberg told him. "Somebody like me to get things done for you." So, at the behest of Bob Fitzpatrick at CalArts, Roy interviewed Peter Schneider, whose background was in live theater, not animation. Still, he'd just run the arts program for the Los Angeles Olympic Arts Festival. Roy liked him, so Schneider met with Katzenberg, a 5:30 a.m. interview, and then Eisner. "Either it will work out or we'll fire you," Eisner said breezily. Schneider got the job, but he sensed that Eisner had little interest in either him or the money-losing animation division. Eisner was far more interested in reviving Disney's live-action film and television divisions, businesses he knew well from his stint at Paramount. He had Katzenberg and Kinsey develop a master plan for the studio, which called for tearing down the old, unused Zorro set and building bungalows to house live-action producers on the lot. As live-action film production ramped up, office space grew tight, especially in the coveted area close to Eisner and Wells. So the animators had to move. The decision was highly symbolic, since Walt's office had always been in the animation building at the heart of the studio. Roy objected, but finally agreed when Eisner personally promised that they'd be brought back to the Burbank campus as soon as a new building could be built. The move was demoralizing. Roy kept his office in the old animation building, but everyone else moved several miles away to a dreary, nearly windowless warehouse in Glendale. Tim Burton left to direct Pee-wee's Big Adventure for Warner Brothers. Despite assurances that the move was temporary, the animators concluded that their days were probably numbered. Apart from Basil, they had so little work to occupy them that they passed the time with chair races, cell sliding contests, and trivial pursuit games. After hiring Katzenberg, Eisner and Wells moved quickly to remake Disney, especially the studio, into something closer to the Paramount mold. The theme parks, the only